Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're talking about episode 3 of Moon Knight. Oh yeah, world's getting bigger, everything's crazy. Let's talk about it. All that right off the bat, we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And my name is Brian V. Klein.
BVK. I'm glad the BVK personality made it to the podcast because that's the one that's the Moon Knight lover. And so...
Yeah. Yes, exactly. He's taking over right now.
Yeah, man. Let's hear. What do you think, man? Episode 3.
Although between the personalities, not really much of a struggle because it seems like we're all loving this show. I love it. This one brought out a little bit more... depth to some of the characters and some more little revelations, and just the scope of this show was just, this one made me feel like it had National Treasure, Indiana Jones vibes to it, with just the whole Cairo, yeah, the
for sure the
Valley of the Gods thing, and they're in the Great Pyramids, and it was so good. So Oscar Isaac again, my God, that guy, what an actor. Holy cow. He was inhabited by Khonshu in front of the Ennead, but we'll get into that. Whew, man.
Yeah. And speaking of that, like, it's great to see Oscar Isaac do something different. And, you know, already Steven and Mark are so different, so diverse. And then getting to see him do Khonshu and, like, manifest that voice, it really did look physically painful what he was doing as an actor. Like, it was really impressive. But we also got the hint at a third personality with this, you know, blackout that both Steven and Mark had, and it seems like it's a very violent personality that still seems to share the goals of serving Khonshu and stopping Ahmet. So what does that mean? Who is that guy? You know?
Right. Woo. Exactly. He's out there, man. He just took over when Mark couldn't do it, and Steven's like, it wasn't me. So, yeah, I got a couple thoughts on that, but we'll save that for the little comic spoiler.
Yeah, we can do a little comic spoiler at the end, because I don't know anything about these other personalities, but, man, it was really cool, because Steven's like... looking at Mark and being like, don't hurt him, don't be too violent. And then even Mark, who is in the middle of this fight, it's the first time we've seen it from Mark's perspective. It's the first time we've really seen Mark fight. And it was really interesting. You have that save the cat moment that you want to see from a new character. And like, they did it with Mark. They made me care about him by having him grab that kid, and he like goes to punch him, and then he open hand Will Smith slaps him instead, you know?
Oh, that's definitely a thing now.
Oh yeah. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, you got Will Smith.
Oh God.
I don't know. I liked that complexity of Mark's character, because he is the mercenary. He's the violent one. He's the whatever, but like, he still has a heart. You know, he's not going to hurt a kid. He has a code of some sort.
And we could also be seeing, too, that this new personality was the one that Mark was the guy that was getting jobs done in a certain way. And when he couldn't do it, this other personality flips in and is just like the one that just has to get to the end of what needs to be done, regardless of the path you take to get there. So for the fact that both of them are just like, that wasn't me, it's like, oh, here we go. Because you got to figure that there was someone before Steven. Steven Cena is still relatively new. As far as the viewers go, he could be something that's been around for a while, too. So,
yeah, we just don't. We have no idea. But I have a feeling he's new. And it also seems like we talked a lot about, if Mark created Steven, why did he create him? And it's like, he needed this sort of moral compass. But then you've also got apparently another personality that was created. And if Mark is the core, he created another personality that's doing the things that he really doesn't want to do. You know, I think that's pretty wild.
Right. Like we speculated last week, I think a lot of Steven's personality is a reflection of Layla. And I think that could be him trying to hold on to that, because we see a little bit more depth to their relationship today about how it looks like Mark is definitely having trouble not being with her, but he knows he can't be, because he even said, she's like, just when I thought I knew enough about you, there's stuff more. And he's just like, yeah, there is. Like, that was really heartbreaking.
Dude, that line.
Like, there's, right.
that line, she says, it's like I haven't known you at all. And he says,
right,
you haven't, you don't. It's right. Just such a cold, like, yeah, get away from me. And like, Steven is clearly a lot of the parts of Mark that do want to be with her and like mm-hmm. want to be the man she would want to be with, even, you know, just so much more gentle and so much more caring. And even like, you know, seems to really, really like her and care about her.
Exactly. I don't think this is speculation, because I'm putting stuff together from what has already been mentioned in the show, is that Layla, first off, I think Layla is the Disney Plus representation of this character called Marlene from the comics, who is Mark's love interest, who's also, her father was an archaeologist, who okay. they show in this episode was, we find out that her father was murdered, you know, the woman at the beginning tells her that.
Yeah.
Now, also in the one episode when Steven gets arrested and the cops, the fake cops show like, oh, this is Mark Spector, an international fugitive. You know, this is what he did at a dig site to the people that were at the, you know, the archaeologists. Mm-hmm. You could put two and two together from that and find out that, you know, Mark was involved most likely with
possibly the
murder of Layla's father.
And the Harrow basically says that. Harrow says, mm-hmm. Your father was murdered and there's something Mark isn't telling you about it. And mm-hmm. Harrow basically lays it out and tells her that there's a connection between your father's murder and Mark. And that right. they're definitely implying that he was involved. Now, I still don't know what happened at that dig site, if he mm-hmm. was involved, if he was, which side he was on or whatever.
Mark could be the guy that didn't do it. It could be this violent third personality too that took over.
Ooh, that's true.
He's even shown to when they were in front of the Ennead and they let Mark speak and he's like, yes, I am. I need help. I'm troubled. I'm, you know, a broken man type thing. So it makes it look like that they're going back in it, that he's had these personality, this DID for a lot longer than when Khonshu has been inhabiting him, which is probably the reason why, like he said before, Harrow said that maybe this is the reason why Khonshu chose him, is because he already was broken.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
We're seeing a little bit more without seeing too much into it, but it's, you know, it's just putting more pieces into place here.
Yeah, man. What if this third personality that is dark and like, you know, that's a great speculation that if he was involved in the murder, it wasn't him, but this third personality that we don't know who it is. But what if it's this third personality is really like a bad dude? We saw that he did some violent things in this episode, things that Mark wouldn't want to do. And so, yeah, that's a whole new wrinkle to the story that I wasn't expecting at all. I didn't know that was a thing. So no. That's cool. That's cool.
And we may have to rely on him a little bit more to get stuff done, because Mark doesn't have any powers anymore. Mm-hmm. Those guys don't have powers anymore, with Khonshu now being turned to stone and being imprisoned. And, you know, so we yep. might have to use that other violent personality to be the means to the ends that he needs to do to be able to stop Arthur from mm-hmm. finally finding and resurrecting Ahmed.
Summon the brute.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, this show keeps getting, this feels like most things now, and it's pretty evident with a lot of the Disney shows being six episodes. You've got definite first act, second act, third act, like they have in mm-hmm. most movies, where you get the first act is developing. The end of the second act is when the main bad thing type happens, and then it shifts to the third act where they've got to fix that and then go from there to get right. to the end, where it seems like now they did that right in the middle. Like, we're halfway through the series and, oh, Mark is sort of neutered and neutralized now, because you might have to see more on. And I think that could possibly be a catalyst to the character of Mark Spector and Steven being a better asset, say, if they bring him into the bigger Marvel Cinematic Universe, where mm-hmm. it's just that character is very, you know, well-rounded enough to be able to, he doesn't need to have the power to be able to be effective in other ways. But then when he does, I mean, I'm assuming by the end of this, he's going to get his power back, because otherwise it's just like, he's just some regular mercenary dude, so.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, and he says, you know, once they imprison me, please have Mark come free me.
Right.
And you know, it shows a sacrificial nature on Khonshu's part that he put himself in this situation. You know, he was talking about how horrible it would be to be imprisoned in stone, and then he chooses that path so that he can stop Ahmet. That's how much he cares.
Khonshu made the sacrifice play in this one.
Yeah.
He says, I gotta do this. You gotta help me turn back. And by the way, that visual when they turn back to Night Sky 2000 mm-hmm. years was even like, first thing I thought was like, wow, that's gotta be trippy. And even Steven's like, oh my God, I'm getting like dizzy or whatever. It was just like, it was, mm-hmm. and everyone is seeing it too.
Yeah.
So for the exactly. fact that him, we've seen Khonshu just being sort of like a vindictive, he's the guy that, you know, is the Punisher pretty much in a sense, but now he's sort of just like, well, I know how we have to, what we have to do to stop this, and he's making the play to say, listen, you're gonna have to do what you gotta do, we got this information now, but you're still gonna need me, so come free me.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he has enough trust in Mark to be able to come and do that. So
yeah, absolutely. I really want to go back to the Ennead scene.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the representation here for mental illness, because mm-hmm. Mark has this line that is just so tragic when he falls down on his knees and says, yes, yes, I need help. I really need help. I'm very broken, but that doesn't change the fact that this thing that I'm telling you about is real. And I feel like that is a thing that a lot of people with mental illness like face, being mm-hmm. You know, you have some sort of mental illness, and it really pushes people to not believing anything you say or not respecting your perspective in any way, because even though you have mental illness, you still have a perspective, and you can still be fighting for something that's true and right. And mm-hmm. It's really, really tragic moment.
And a sad thing to say, too, is that even in this day and age, is that people that don't have that are going to look at you as being just completely wrong and being like, oh, your problem isn't my problem, so why should I care about it? Which mm-hmm. is, again, a sad state of the world that we're in, but it just seems like that is the case, where a lot of people are a lot more focused on just, you know, it's not my problem, so I don't have to worry about it. But the fact is that he is showing that. And even in that scene when he had Khonshu, you know, like, he was, Oscar Isaac was being the embodiment of Khonshu, and it was just being sort of like over the top, like theatrical. But then you see that Mark is taking over, going like, what is going on here? Because he even said, it's going to feel a little weird, but just him being like, whoa, just like, oh my God, something is taking over my body here. So again, Oscar Isaac has just been, I mean, he's got to be, when it comes to the nominations this summer, he's got to be at least nominated for Best Actor in a limited series mm-hmm. for this, because he has just been unbelievable.
Yeah, 100%. He's really, really wonderful. And man, seeing the Ennead and seeing all of these other avatars just blew the roof off the thing. I mean, and then to also have the planet, you know, reversing the night sky, like all of that combined, it just like made this feel like it was on a global scale. It made it feel like, oh, we need to call the Avengers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that last part was something that was going to, everyone in the world was going to see that. And so yep. it's just going to be like, ooh, this is going to trigger something. Bruce yeah. Banner is going to see this and stuff like that. Going back to the Ennead, though, and I think that this was kind of, the way that they presented it was kind of obvious, because they've mentioned before that there are 9 members of the Ennead. We had Ahmet and Khonshu, and then there was, I think, 4 other ones there, or 5. So there's still a couple of them that were not represented in there, which they could mean that they don't have avatars, or they are like Ahmet, where they are imprisoned or something. Mm-hmm. But there was brought up, Courtney in the chat asked, how is Mark going to free him? And right when I was typing it out, Karen said, I'm guessing that avatar lady, the one that was like the avatar of music and love or whatever.
Love, yeah.
I think she's going to help Mark get Khonshu back, because she seemed to be the most sympathetic towards Khonshu, whereas the other guys, because as soon as they mentioned them, and it was Osiris, and they pronounced it Isis, but we know him, or the god is Isis, and maybe they're trying to not say Isis because of the
yeah,
the, for sure. the world stuff, but then the other ones were sort of just like, nope, Khonshu's bad. Lock him up. This is his problem. The reason why we banished you in the first place. So I think she's going to be the sympathetic character from the inside that gets Khonshu back as well.
I definitely think that's possible. And maybe that'll happen before the end. But I also think that if Haro releases Ahmet, or even like it becomes proven that that's what he's trying to do, then the entire Ennead may go, we're sorry, Khonshu, you were right.
We messed up.
You
know? Exactly.
It may not even take Hathor like going against the Ennead. It may just be like you said, the whole three-act structure. I think the third act might be triggered by actually, this seems like a third act. Like this is pretty low. Like he's definitely lost his powers and everything, but like third act may be triggered when Ahmet is released, maybe.
Right.
If Haro becomes Ahmet's avatar because and is imbued with the powers of Ahmet, and then, you know, Ahmet and Khonshu really have to go at it.
I would assume the end of next episode is going to be when they find her, they release her, and the big end scene is just her coming, you know, back into the mortal realm. And because right now, pretty much, he just has that power of her by that the part of her that is imbued in that cane. So the fact is that she is still imprisoned and just, you know, out there. And they've even mentioned that her goal was pretty much to be the prejudge. And then the gods and the Ennead are like, we've decided to not be involved in the dealings of man. So it's sort of like that is the exact opposite of they're going at different, you know, they're coming at it from different ways. So like you said, I think once Arthur does release her, the gods are going to be like, oh, my bad. Sorry, we should listen to you. Mm-hmm. And then the third act is going to be, you know, the gods helping to try to stop her and possibly bring in, because there is, I did realize too, that this could be some kind of cool foreshadowing, as we mentioned last week about the QR codes. In one of them, if you looked at, I think the first episode when they have the, I guess you have to do it in the reflection of the window of when the girl is sitting there putting the garbage at the beginning into the pyramid, and then Arthur or Stephen goes and shows her, that takes you to a specific comic of a character that could possibly, I wouldn't assume that they don't mention him without bringing him in somehow. You would think they're not going to have a random mention of this character and not have him show up in the show, I would think.
Right. Unless it's like foreshadowing that's coming later, because they've already had like Blade and
that's Werewolf what I was talking by about. Night.
And yeah. All those QR codes are taking you to all these different comics. So I don't know if they're all going to show up in this show, but they very well might show up. That may be pointing to the fact that we're getting Midnight Suns in a future date, you know?
Right. And we still got that unknown entity, which is the MCU Halloween episode.
Yeah.
The Halloween special that's going to be on Disney Plus. So that could be skewing more towards Monster Squad or Midnight Suns or something like that. So, I mean, I'm hoping that Werewolf by Night shows up, because he was my Hail Hydra pick for my 10-point guy in our fantasy league. So,
oh, was he? I thought he was already announced for this year.
No, I went and looked, and it said there were speculations for it, but nothing was officially announced. Okay. So I remember when we were doing our draft, I'm like, we got to get to it, because I know what's going to happen is they may announce something right when we're doing it, and I'm like, crap, there goes my 10-point thing, Coase.
Nice.
But we'll see.
All right. Well, I guess, do you want to do a quick comic spoiler thing? Something you said you got some theories about who this third personality might be.
Before we do that, too, mention when they were at that one guy's house, when they were looking at the sarcophagus and they mentioned Madripoor, I was sort of just like, oh, cool. So they probably have a lot of his antiquities. There has to be something between him and Sharon that go together because of the fact that she deals with this black market stuff. So
Yeah. I loved the mention of Madripoor. That was so rad.
That or when he was Moon Knight protecting Layla and it were absorbing all the bullets in his cape, and then he went and turned and flicked the cape and then shot the bullets all back at the people. I'm like, oh yeah, that was a pretty cool effect. But
that was rad. I love when Steven takes over when Moon Knight's killing everyone, and then he
he gets stabbed
a bunch and goes, take the body now.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that whole scene there was just, it had so much action and then humor, and that's what I just love about this show, the way it mixes. But quick thought on the comics. So
So comic spoilers, everybody, we're gonna do some comic spoiler stuff talk.
There is, in the comics, there is pretty much three main personalities. There is Mark Spector, there is Stephen Grant, and there's this character, Jake Lockley. Mm-hmm. And Jake is the one who mainly is the person that has the Moon Knight suit. He's the one that dishes out the justice. Oh. In the comics, Stephen Grant is almost like the mogul guy, the one that helps him.
Yeah, he's the Bruce Wayne of the three.
Right. He doesn't have the, he's usually the guy that is in there when they need to do the actual business side. And Mark Spector is the one that sometimes when he gets it, he has the Mr. Knight suit. So the fact that Steven has the Mr. Knight and Mark has the Moon Knight that he summons him, Jake Lockley could be this one because he's the one that is usually the person that is dishing out the big justice, could be this third personality that comes in and just, you know, wreaks havoc as a person without the suit. So that's my, as soon as I saw that, I'm just like, oh, they're bringing in Jake already. So.
Okay. So interesting. I didn't realize that Jake was normally the personality because in the comics, Jake's like a cab driver. Do I have that right?
Correct. But he's the one that usually whenever they, it seems like he always, when they arrest him for doing something, he has the Moon Knight suit in the trunk of the cab or something like that. It's always it's always like a convenient, like, you got to find a way to store that thing and people don't see it. Instead of just opening the trunk, oh, there's a spare tire, there's jumper cables, and there's a big white vigilante suit in here.
So. Why don't you store it inside your body like this version of Mark Spector?
Yeah, I think that was a little bit more of the way that they do it in the show is cool with the summoning the suit, because that way they don't have to do the whole, you know, Clark Kent in the phone booth type thing where he's going to put the suit on. And this is definitely not a suit that can be just worn underneath clothing because it's just, you know,
too flowing and big. Yeah, man. Whew. And I love the way the suit is an extension of Khonshu's magic, but also, like, you know, it part of the thing about the show is, and the difference between this and the comic is in the comic, there's some question as to whether the Moon Knight powers are even real at times. You know, it's like this, right. is this just another personality? Are these powers real? Is this part of the mental illness? And in this, it's just like, no, there is mental illness, but there is also like all this magic is real. Like we don't have any like illusions. I mean, the sky turned backwards. You know what I mean? Like this is all real.
When we're watching the show, we're not under the impression that any of this is going on inside of his head. It's all going on in the real world. Courtney just brought up a good the description here is that the three characters are evil justice, neutral justice, and good justice. So it's sort of just like, you know, just the way that you get to the end point is how, you know, you're considered. It's just like the chaotic evil, neutral evil, you know. I guess there's no good evil, but you know,
just neutral. Yeah, those are polar opposites there. All right. Well, I like it. All right, guys. Yes. Well, that will be all from us this fine evening. We'll be back we got an episode dropping this weekend. Some more best female moments that you guys wrote in. And then we also have an episode coming on Monday with the feedback for Moon Knight. So if you guys send your feedback to mcucast@gmail.com, that's the best way to get into the feedback, unless you're a patron. And if you're a patron, that's an even better way because we always prioritize the patron. So patreon.com/mcucast gets you that. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.